Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Come here. Have you heard? A bit of buzz, the juicy tidbit of tittle-tattle. I can't say exactly where I heard it, but suffice it to say it was last midsummer, and I overheard some fairies in the woods outside of Athens. Never mind why I was there, but I heard some supernatural sprites use this wonderful word, gossip. Now, before we have ourselves a little discussion about dreamy nighttime shenanigans, we actually must uncover the first time Uncle Will used gossip, and it's not exactly in the way you may imagine. First, we must travel to the city of Ephesus in ancient Greece, which actually is near the modern village of Selkuk in Turkey, or Turkey. For William's tale of twin troublemakers, mistaken identities, and madcap misunderstandings that could only be wrapped up and untangled by our fair uncle's audaciously absurd genius. It is in Act 5, Scene 1, where the comedic chaos turns to resolution, as the two sets of twins finally come face to face, unraveling the web of mistaken identities that has plagued the city and the entirety of the play. Amidst the presence of Duke Solinus, long-lost family ties are joyfully restored. The scene concludes with forgiveness, reconciliation, and merriment, as the characters marvel at the improbable coincidences that have led to such a happy ending. Now it is here that a party invitation is extended, and the Duke says that he will accept, saying, "With all my heart, I'll gossip at this feast." Now, before we jump to the conclusion that our fair Duke is planning on engaging in some salacious tail-spinning, we must note that Uncle Will was using the term gossip here in its traditional sense of to make oneself at home, or simply the making of merriment. Its original derivation was from the Old English coupling of god and sib, meaning kinsman, and was used as shorthand for godparent, godsib. So when the soiree is referred to as a gossip's feast, Uncle Will was using it in the sense of a family feast. It would be some 2 years later, in or around 1596, that William would use the term in the way that is a bit more familiar to us today. For that, we must travel to said forest on the outskirts of ancient Athens for Uncle Will's tale of misplaced affections, mischievous fairies, and mortals bumbling through a woodland love labyrinth, all tied together, sometimes not so neatly, with mirthful magical mayhem and a donkey. In Act 2, Scene 1 of William's A Midsummer Night's Dream, we come upon Oberon and Titania, king and queen of the fairies, respectively, who are in a bit of an argument over the possession of a little changeling boy.
Why should Titania cross her, Oberon? I do but beg a little changeling boy to be my henchman.
Set your heart at rest. The fairy land buys not the child of me.
His mother was a votress of my order. And in the spiced Indian air, by night, full often hath she gossiped by my side, and sat with me on Neptune's yellow sands.
One of my favorite poets, aside from Uncle Will and Carol Ann Duffy, of course, would take William's penchant for wordsmithing and create his very own version in 1938. In his I'm a Stranger Here Myself, the brilliant Ogden Nash would pen, in part, "There are two kinds of people who blow through life like a breeze, and one kind is gossipers, and the other kind is gossipees." Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell, until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.